Triple M's Rush Hour with Jazz and Louie is brought to you by Dan Murphy's. That's their lowest liquor price guarantee.
Righto, Jazz, big news at Adelaide today. The external review has been wrapped up.
And
some big names exiting the Adelaide Football Club. And that is the head of football, Brett Burton, and the senior assistant, Scott Camporale. To join us now is the boss of the joint down there, the CEO of the Crows, Andrew Fagan. Fakes, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're good. Some big names or big scalps, depends on how you want to look at it. The review's been done and dusted. Clearly, the recommendations came back that you've got a bit of a cultural issue, and it's been probably, I'm guessing here to a degree, but these two gentlemen have probably been at the forefront of things that haven't gone well, so therefore they're not there anymore.
Yeah, nothing's ever, overly straightforward.
No.
And look, the review was a really thorough process, and it certainly identified things that, we're actually pretty consistent with our own internal findings, and that was just that it's less about the mechanics and more about those relationship dynamics that just weren't at the level that we needed. And some of those are historical that go back a couple of years, and then probably within the pressure of just an AFL environment and probably even the Adelaide environment, some little things became big things pretty quickly as well. Over the last couple of years, and that we just got to a point where, we felt as though in order to be able to move through this, we needed to make, some pretty significant change. And particularly once Don Pike had made his decision to step away, we thought it was important that a new coach had the ability to, be able to start with a pretty fresh slate. And, that resulted in, the two changes that we've made today with Scott and Brett departing, who were both good people, have contributed an enormous amount to this football club over a number of years in different ways. And they weren't called out specifically by this review, but what was called out is the need for change.
Yep.
And we needed to give a new coach the ability to very much look forward with a new group around him. And so, ultimately we made the decisions we have.
Fakes, the perception of the fan base, the supporter base, who, as I said, I think one other time when we chatted, it's the most palpable I've seen their angst re your football club in my time here in South Australia. Do you think they'll be appeased with the decision making, and do you think they'll see it that the last 18 months have been the denying game that there wasn't a cultural issue, and everybody took exception to every time anything got brought up in the media, that you guys have finally worked it out that there has been an issue, it's got there, and will they be accepting now that you've come out and said, oh, hang on a minute, we've got an issue because we've just put in a head of leadership and culture?
Well, I think we've acknowledged that we've had issues, and so we've clearly underperformed on field, and we've, off field we obviously had a camp that we've said was a miss, and we've acknowledged that some things weren't done well there, and then ultimately we haven't been able to probably escape some of that, become quite a distraction sort of outside the club. And still remains, remaining a bit of an issue inside the club, although, less so more recently. But ultimately, we still, couldn't get that environment humming to the level that it needs to be. And I think you guys know it only needs to be a little bit off to have you finish mid-table and underperform, and that's what's happened. But with regards to the creation of the new position, it's certainly becoming a bit more commonplace across the industry.
Yep.
To have a full-time person who just focuses on leadership. And the environment, and look, that so we called it leadership and culture. It could have been called a range of things, but it's a full-time resource that is just there to work across the entirety of our AFL playing list, as well as our AFLW list as well, acknowledging that we want to give players the resources necessary to fast track their development as leaders, as positive influencers, to help them also deal just with the challenges they get as a modern day professional athlete, which are pretty significant. So look, we're excited about that position. Now I've just got to fill it with someone who we think is going to be going to be great for the program.
Fakes, do you think history will judge you guys who have been in charge at this point in time, especially the last 2 years after 2017, that you shot yourselves in the foot?
Look, I think ultimately history will judge us over a period of time, mate. So you're right in that regard. And we've had, certainly in my time here, we had a few really good years, successive finals for 3 years and a grand final. Then we've had two really challenging years where we certainly haven't got things right. And, we've underperformed and we've, some mistakes were made. And ultimately, a series of decisions then get made to try and fix them. And some of those have been effective. And, if we had, for example, a whole lot of injuries in 2018 that you know, also challenged us, and we made some changes at the end of that season. And in 2019, we had amongst the lowest, you know, injury, you know, toll in the competition. But we haven't, you know, we haven't been able to get the broader environment just, you know, singing at the level that it needs to. But we're really confident that these changes and the ability for a new coach to step in now with some change around him, and also just a line in the sand moment, I guess. And, you know, having spoken to, you know, the playing group, the six or seven players this morning, they're united in, you know, wanting to drive success. So they're passionate about the future. That came through loud and clear with their messages. So, you know, let's see what the next several years, you know, can deliver for us, and ultimately we'll all get judged in, you know, over, you know, what we deliver over a long period of time, because we're here as custodians for a period, not you know, the club's not about us, it's just about what we can deliver over the time that we're here.
Fake, from the review, will there be more personal changes coming in the next week or so?
No, I don't expect so. So look, obviously we've got some pretty significant change here with, you know, looking to appoint a new head of football. Obviously we've got our new senior coach to be appointed you know, pretty soon. And then look, whether he looks to have a senior assistant coach next to him or not, that, you know, we'll wait and see. That will, you know, that structure will depend, you know, on that final appointment. And what sort of the role looks like, you know, what the roles look like around him. But I don't, and obviously we're looking for a new appointment in terms of the head of leadership, but I don't expect there to be any other changes of a material nature.
Fakes, back to those players you spoke to, could they be happy because the roadblocks are out of the way?
No. Look, they've been frustrated. Look, they, you know, the players themselves, they said, look, we've got to own, we are a part of the environment.
Mm.
So, you know, there's not shirking of responsibility here. You know, the review wasn't interviewing players about coaches. The review was, you know, talking to everyone involved in the football department to identify the things that we needed to change, to improve. And you've got to say, that didn't target Scott Camprelli and Brett Burton. It actually just spoke to the broader environment. Then it's about how you make that change. And sometimes, obviously, you know, it's about program change. Sometimes it's about people change. But, you know, the players I spoke to all, to a T, said, right, you know, they're tough calls that the club's made, and we've got to embrace those, or now embrace this, you know, where we are to you know, deliver from a playing perspective, the leadership and the standards required to, you know, deliver on-field success that our fans want and that the playing group wants. So now they're not shirking away from you know, where they stand. They're just driven to achieve success, and they're competitive beasts. But they are pretty excited about the future.
Fakes, one more before we get on to where the coach is at, because it's obviously getting to a crucial time now and you've got some key signings you need to get done. Going forward with that review, was there any other recommendations, or were they a recommendation, or like you just said, was it just putting the dots together and seeing the common theme that those two roles were the ones that seemed to have the most
and the Crows footy department.
Flags. Yeah, and the footy department itself. So
yeah, no, so look, the review, I know it's sort of can be a bit tricky to understand, but the review was about identifying themes, you're right. So it wasn't about making recommendations. Ultimately, it was being really clear about information gathering and identifying the themes in a really confidential basis. Those themes are pretty consistent with what our internal findings were, which was good in one respect. Was okay, there's not sort of a lot new. Probably we spoke to the breadth and the depth of those issues by having, you know, just the extensive nature of the review that took place. What it identified was then we needed to, you know, what change was required to create greatest influence, positive influence on the program. And obviously, particularly with a senior coach already gone, we've gone to two pretty senior positions who have significant influence on the program, or who can with some change of appointments. And said it's harsh on those two individuals. And Brett, you know, and Scott are both quality people. They've invested an enormous amount into this football club. Scott, during our darkest days after Phil Walsh died, and as a coach over the last 9 years, and I expect him to, if he, you know, decides to, he'll go on and, you know, continue to have a really, you know, positive career in the AFL. And Brett, you know, came as our head of high performance, and I think in his first year we had our lowest injury count, and in 17 as a head of football we went to our first grand final in 20 years. But we just needed to make some change, and sort of we've gone to some tough calls to probably two of the more influential positions to enable some fresh voices to come in to the club together with a new senior coach. And we just think that's going to create the fastest way possible to the fastest path to to achieve what we want to achieve. And so that's, you know, we're pretty confident that, that things will turn really, really quickly. And again, having spoken to players and staff today, I think that's shared by the majority of people.
Has there been a lesson learnt with the Burton appointment? And this is not to have a crack at Berg because he's a fantastic fella, but the potential that he may have not have been overly qualified for the position, or he was thrust into a spot that he probably wasn't experienced enough to do?
Look, I think it's a really tough assessment. Look, it's a tough position. It's a tough position. And when you look across the industry, the background of the people in those roles, are they're either from high performance, they're from list management, they're from coaching, or they're from outside. They're, you know, they're administrators. There's no, the only probably really significant positive indicator to someone's, you know, appropriateness for a head of football role is them probably having been a head of football successfully at another club.
Yep.
So it's, yeah, ultimately, you know, Brett was appropriately credentialed for the role. And as I said, he was head of football when we made a grand final. And ultimately, there were some mistakes made, but he's done plenty of things really, really well. But then we've got an environment that's just not where it needs to be. And so we needed to make some decisions on how we could, you know, most significantly influence change under the direction of a new senior coach. And they've been some pretty tough calls that we've made, but we've, you know, said we make them and we stand by them. And they're tough on those individuals, but I think that we've now got the ability to draw a line in the sand and you know, for players, coaches and everyone else to look forward and not in the rear-vision mirror.
So the reconnect with the fans, like I said, they were a little bit, they were more than a little bit, they were extremely unhappy at the end of the year. The feedback so far, Fags, I know it's only new, but I know you will be in touch, you keep in touch, you watch what happens on social media. What's been the immediate sort of feedback you've gotten with the two decisions that have been made?
Mate, to tell you the truth, I've been in either meetings or interviews all day, so I haven't had the chance to look at that. I'll obviously through the course of the evening try and catch up on, you know, you're right, I do sort of look and take notice of what our fans are saying. And so look, I'll have the opportunity to do that later, but you know, I hope that they see that, you know, this process has been thorough. It's, you know, we've made some strong decisions. Not everyone will agree with, you know, the decisions that we've made, but they've been made very much with the interests of the club at heart, and the ability to you know, rapidly, you know, create an environment that is going to give the players all that they need to be successful. And you know, we've obviously got some appointments to make in the next couple of weeks, starting with the senior coach.
And will he be a hard-assed type coach or a relationship-based type coach, Fags, you reckon, the next coach? He's going to be...
Well, yeah, mate, look, it's a good question. I think increasingly across the league, you know, the ability for coaches to be able to connect really deeply with their playing group is important, and it's certainly one of the core competencies that you know, we're looking for. But look, they've still got to lead, and they've got to lead strongly and make tough calls. So no, it's like most things in life, you've got to be balanced, and we're expecting to appoint someone who can do both.
Okay.
And you know, who can genuinely do both, and said it's the people we're speaking with have that capability, and said I'm pretty excited about that. We've just got to make a final call, which we're not too far away from.
And Fags, the statement says as much to you: need for greater and more effective emphasis on maintaining and, in some cases, improving those personal relationships. Is it getting to? And this has just popped into my head, Fags. Are we getting more like the EPL where you're more a manager than a coach? Obviously, you've got your coaching staff and your people around you who know your game plan and everything else. But at the end of the day, none of that's any good unless you connect with the player. So as a coach, that's got to be now the number one priority, the connection.
Yeah, I certainly think things have changed from 20 years ago, from 10 years ago.
Five years ago.
Yeah, correct. And it's, you know, that's, we all know that, you know, if you've got kids and you've got, you know, other relationships with, you know, people, you see how people need to be led these days, and it has changed a lot, and particularly in the pressurised environment of AFL. And Louis, to your point, you know, I think it is increasingly important for senior coaches to be able to, you know, to create an environment where they can lead really effectively. And often that, you know, people are best led when they know that they've got, you know, some genuine care and depth of relationship there. That's just a fact, and probably it's like in your own personal relationship, it's no different. And but it's also a brutal industry where 22 get picked every week and 22 don't. You've got serious list management decisions you've got to make, and you've got 7 days in between games to, you know, create improvement. So it's a tough job being a senior coach and leading a footy program, and as it is being an assistant coach, as it is being a head of football, and as it is in any other role within footy. But we're absolutely committed to delivering for the club and delivering for our fans, and so I certainly hope that they can see that we've gone through this process really comprehensively. We've made some significant changes. We're about to make some, I think, really good appointments, and we'll finalise our list, rejuvenation, and we're pretty excited about the future.
Fakes, can I offer you the one theme that I've deduced out of this whole thing is that the playing group are out of excuses.
Look, mate, I've got to tell you, having spoken to six or seven players this morning, just following this announcement, let them know they're owning the future. They very much made it clear to me that said, look, the club's been strong in making some decisions, and it's now it's on them to.
But face the impediments seem to be gone. There's no more of this silking and carrying on. It's like get in, whack in, have a crack, and then we'll deal with it and let's go forward.
Yeah, no, they're driven to achieve success, mate. Let me put it that way. And so no one's more disappointed than they are about not sort of achieving to the levels that we thought was possible over the last couple of years. And they want to get back there as quickly as possible. And so they know that what that requires. They know that we've made some changes here, and obviously Pikey stepping away was another change. And there's going to be some new leadership in there. And as I said, mate, you've got new leadership who he doesn't have his 22 yet.
No.
So there'll be a fight for spots, and with a lot of energy with some young blokes coming in. So there's plenty to be excited about, and I look forward to them all cracking in when they get back from their break in the next few weeks.
And the last question, who is he that we're talking about?
It's a good question, isn't it? I'd love to be able to tell you. I'd like to do one of these interviews where I just answer that and just go, actually, it's this bloke.
Yeah, right? I'd like to play a Who Am I and see if we can't find out who he is, but we're running out of time.
We're getting close, guys. Yep. I said it's really important decision, and we've taken the time necessary to speak to a lot of people. It's not just about interviews, a lot of backgrounding, putting people in a lot of scenarios to test them to make sure we're going to make a good decision. So we're really not too far away, and I expect a decision next week.
So Roo goes on, Chappie goes on, you're going on, everything's done. We've now seen the last of the changes, except for maybe a little bit of minor tweaking inside the footy department.
Yeah, that's the story.
Yeah. All right, beautiful. All right, Fakes, appreciate your time. See you guys. The Adelaide Crows, Andrew Fagan on the Rush Hour. Andrew Warren Fagan, which we haven't called him for ages, Jars, here on Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Jars and Louis is brought to you by Dan Murphy's. That's their lowest liquor price guarantee.